today on Real Radio.
You've got to be born again. And Jesus on the cross died and empowered the truth that you and I can be born again. Until he died, you couldn't be born again. It wasn't until John chapter 20, after the resurrection, when Christ breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit inside of them, that they were born again.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack in a message called Only God Can Save You Now. Part 2 continues in the book of Philippians chapter 2 with verses 5 through 11. In these verses, Paul encompasses everything about who Jesus Christ really is. He's God, he's the Savior, our Lord, and he came so that we might have eternal life. We've all been wronged at some point in our lives, that's the truth. And our response to this injury bears witness to the fact that there is evil in this world. The damaging effects of sin not only hurt us, but all of creation as well. There is no greater sin, however, than the one we've inflicted on the heart of God. For this reason, God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. His sacrifice conquered evil and broke the destructive power of sin. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that only God can give us salvation. It's something we could never do for ourselves. We are lost and our lives drift apart from him. We're not capable of reforming our sin nature. So God, in his mercy, came to restore the broken fellowship through the blood of the cross. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
And when the Bible tells us here in verse 8 that he humbled himself and became obedient, oh my goodness, the word humbled here means that he stepped down. We learned this last week. He stepped down. He self-humbled. Listen, you and I cannot do this. He stepped down. You and I do not step down from anything. He came here. It was a big deal for him to leave eternity and all the glories of heaven, a throne to make, as it were, sandals his throne, a robe his covering, skin, human skin. Now, look, you may be young and you may like your skin. There's a day coming when your skin will become your enemy. You will wake up. And it's a nasty thing, part of the curse. Inside, listen, 58 years old I am, and inside I'm 21. Can I have an amen to everybody? I'm 21 in here. I can jump that. Watch. But no, I can't. Let's do it. Come on, let's go. And I head 3 feet down the road. It's like, oh man, I'm tired. Listen, young people, listen. You're always somehow in some cruel, mean trick of sin in the universe. Everyone's 21 on the inside. But as you age past 21, your body becomes not cool, but a carcass. And you got to drag it around. You got to perfume it and medicate it. You got to do all this stuff. It's just hard work. And you and I start at nothing. And without Jesus, we end at nothing. He came down from heaven. He put on skin so that you and I would never have to live separated from God. He became willingly humble. In his humanity, listen, he was happy to leave heaven and to be veiled in skin, to be with us in this world fallen with a mission in sight, with a price to be paid, and he was delighted about it. He wasn't a victim. He didn't lose the bet. It was his joy to come. Who's got this message? Nobody has this message. My Mormon friends, I love the Mormon people. They're wonderful people, but they don't have this message. They need it. They got the same Bible you and I have. They can read it, but they've been polluted by the words of men. Jehovah's Witnesses, you got to admit, Jehovah's Witnesses, they do circles around us when it comes to works. Do you go door to door telling people about Jesus all the time? We should, but listen, they have to. They've got to earn their way to heaven. It's all about works, man. You think of our Jewish friends, love them. But it's all about works. Muslims, how are you going to get to heaven? You got to do good works. There's no atonement for you, and you know it. It's in your doctrine. You have no blood atonement. You've got no blood Messiah. Nobody has that but you. The person who believes the Bible, and I'm hesitating to even say Christian because that gets all gobbledygooped up with a, oh, I'm a Christian. I was born in America, I'm a Christian. No, you're not. Oh, you have a passport. You have a passport. You may go to Peru, but you're not going to go to heaven on that passport. You've got to be born again. And Jesus on the cross died and empowered the truth that you and I can be born again. Until he died, you couldn't be born again. It wasn't until John chapter 20, after the resurrection, when Christ breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit inside of them, that they were born again. He died that you would go to heaven. And you can't go to heaven without being born again. Now listen to this. In fact, if you're a skeptic in the house, listen carefully because this is fun stuff. Isaiah 53:6, 743 years before Jesus was born. Isaiah 53. Every synagogue, by the way, in the world had the scrolls of Isaiah and copies, and they could read it. Imagine, the day Jesus was born, they already had what I'm about to read in their synagogues throughout the world. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. That is, we are rebellious. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Look at it. Just look at it. If you're a skeptic, listen carefully. Nearly 3,000 years ago, 743 years before Jesus was born, waiting in the pages of the Bible in the Old Testament was this portion of Scripture. And mark this. All we like sheep have gone astray. Is that true or false? You don't have to be a Christian to agree with us. In fact, if you're doubting that, it's probably because you don't have kids. You can be an atheist right now. You say, I doubt it. Well, listen, after you have kids, you come back to us and you will agree with us. Because all you have to do is have kids. Why? Because those little stinkers, cute as a button, but they go astray. The moment they come out, they start going astray. Our daughter didn't wait. I forget which one it was. She was born there at St. Joseph's Hospital there in OC. She came out and it was fantastic. The OBGYN person guy, whatever he is, he was heading off to church that morning, and he was all dressed for church, but then our baby's coming. So he said, okay, I'll take care of this. She comes out, and he's all dressed for church. She comes out, and she goes astray from the moment she comes out. She pooped right on his shoes instantly. Made her mark in the world in the first moment of time. We all go off what's expected. We all go off. Verse on the screen. Next comment about that. Same verse on the screen. We have turned everyone to his own way. We will do it our way. And that's maybe that's fine, but not when it comes to salvation. And here's where it gets beautiful. And the tetragrammaton. What? The, notice, capital L-O-R-D. That is the Y-H, right? I'm losing my mind. Y-H-W-H. What is this, Y-H-W-H? That is the name of God. Listen, God's not his name. You know this, church. Yah is his name. Yahweh is God. And Yahweh, God, our salvation, the God who saves. Oh yeah? How's he do it? He has laid on him. Not himself. His son. The exact extension of himself, but this time in humanity. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Christ the Messiah, the second person of the Trinity. It was not the Holy Spirit, though he is God, that died for you on the cross. It was not God the Father, who is God, who did not die on the cross. It was he who is God the Son who came and put on humanity to die for you, and he embraced it with joy. He was glad about that. So much so that he humbled himself and became obedient even to the point of death, the death of the cross. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2, verse 1, and you he made alive. Wow, there's a change. You want a fundamental change? You've learned in the last 8 years it's not going to come from government, right? Let's be honest. Well, I'm a Democrat. You hurt my feelings. Well, stop it. Well, I'm a Republican. Stop it. Why don't you join the club? You know what club we're in? We're monarchists. Okay, we believe in King Jesus, and I hope he's back any moment now. Listen, King Jesus, the Bible tells us that he made alive. That's the answer, by the way. Who were dead in trespasses and sins. Did you know the Bible says that you and I were dead until we meet Jesus? Dead. Why? Why were we dead? How? What do you mean dead? I'm here right now. You're here, but you're dead. You're dead inside. And the Bible says, listen, the Bible says this is how we know that we were and you are dead inside, is because in your mind, inside your skin, inside your thinking, it's all about your achievement, pleasure, and status. It's all about you at any cost. It's dog-eat-dog world inside of you, and it's he who dies with the most toys wins, and it's look out for number one. Humanism. The Bible says you're dead. See, I find that offensive. That's a good sign, actually, if you can be offended by that. If truth offends you, there's hope that you're starting to wake up. Amen. If you're totally, totally, totally dead, and there's no hope for you, then you're like, you're sleeping right now. You're like, you're yawning. It's like, I don't care. But if there's hope for you, you're saying, hey, that hurt. You know why it hurt? Because the Holy Spirit just took eternal truth and cut you with it and poured salt on it. And you're going, that kind of stings. Good! That means there's a sign of life. Hang on. Verse 2, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. You know all the stuff you did or you're doing? According to the prince of the power of the air. That's scary. Who's that? Satan. That's the definition of Satan. Wow. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. Wow. So listen. Jesus Christ coming to the cross, this was not some judicious act of his that he had to do. Did you know that? He didn't, it's not like, oh, I've got, it's time for me to leave now, you know. Mary's about ready to conceive. I'm going to have to leave heaven. I'll be back, you guys. I'll be back in 33 and a quarter years. What a bummer. All right. And he didn't like put on his helmet and put his mouthpiece in. All right, put on pads. Here I go. Don't think like that. To think like that is to have, listen, the wrong view of God, and honestly, listen, a low view of who you are. No, I want to be careful about this. I don't think you need to run around reading every kind of book about how wonderful you are. I think that's part of our problem. We already think we're something. But, listen, it is a fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, not angels. He, as much as those four dogs I showed a moment ago need it, he didn't die on the cross for those dogs. He died on the cross for you. You're of infinite value. We just have a wrong perspective of that value and our worth. God loves you, and that's for real. However, my sin has separated me from God, and I can never get close to him. Even though he loves me, listen, friends, just because God loves you don't think for a moment that he gives you a free pass on your lifestyle. You're deceiving yourself. God loves you, and you can go straight to hell. God provided Jesus Christ so you wouldn't go to hell. He wants you to acknowledge your sin and come to Christ and honor his work at the cross. God loved you so much that he wasn't willing to wipe his hands of the whole affair and let you be obliterated or descend into a Christless pit. He came. And in doing that, he did it gladly. It was not his Trinitarian duty. that the coin toss landed upon him. It was his joyful passion to come. Because of the price paid, of course, but he looked beyond the price. He looked beyond the price of what he would do at the cross. He looked on to see and was reminded of what he would get out of his sacrifice, and that is the salvation of mankind to all those who would believe in him. And that's the big challenge today. Do you believe in him? Do you trust him? Listen, don't do another Bible study and think. Are you listening? Don't do another Bible study and think that it increases your position with God and that you're okay. Bible studies are provided to get you to know the person of God, not to know more of him, but to know him personally. This is a Christian's great danger, is to acquire more verses and more knowledge of God and miss the person of God. This perfect truth is to bring me to the place. Watch. In fact, the Bible even speaks of this. There's going to be a day when this is going to be set aside because we will see him that day in eternity face to face. There'll be no Bible studies in heaven. All you'll have to do is ask him. Can you imagine? The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, that is the Godhead, perfection. Jesus coming in human flesh, becoming a man, was not God diminished. This is amazing. Listen up, everybody. When Jesus Christ came, don't think for a moment. In fact, a lot of non-Middle Eastern people, like us, they don't get it. If you're from the Middle East, you get it. When you read in the Bible, the Son of God, if you're from the Middle East, you get it. Because in the Middle East, if you're talking to the Son, you're talking to the Father. The culture understanding, the Son has all the ownership and priority and preeminence as the Father. So I got something wrong. This falafel's not fresh. I want to talk to some, who owns this place? And somebody comes out and says, what's the deal? Do you own the place? Well, my dad owns the place. I'm his son. And if you're buying a falafel or a shawarma in the Middle East, if you're talking to the Son, guess who you're talking to? You're talking to the Father. Whatever the Son says, he says only exactly what the Father says. We don't get that in our Western culture. When the Bible says that the Son of God came for us, it is God the Son representing in totality the perfection and the vision and the passion and the mission of God Almighty. And because you're talking to the Son, you're not talking to the diminished portion of the Trinity. Don't think it's Father, Holy Spirit, and the Son. Excuse that. Listen, they're all three, one person, co-eternal personalities in full agreement. And yet, each of them have a function to perform. And Jesus was the sacrifice. And so, Colossians 1:19 tells us that he is the full representation of the Godhead. Verse 20, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you, watch everybody, holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. That's amazing. I can't, listen, one of the great reasons why I need heaven to come now, I need Christ to come, is because that's what I want, that's not what I am now. Let me explain. Right now, you and I make mistakes. We say the wrong thing. We got the wrong attitude. It didn't come out right. And even if we try to, even if we feel and speak what we're trying to say, it's still, I mean, I'm perfect at fumbling it. Because, you know, I can say the perfect thing, but with the wrong tone. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. There's going to be a day when all that's gone and all that Christ has bought for me will be realized fully in reality and totality when I see him face to face. I will become in absolute accordance with the Bible like him. I will not become God. I will become like him in that holy state because of his work. And that's a beautiful thing. Don't you want that? So yes, I want that. Great, hang on. Accept Jesus Christ. Stay close with us all as we follow him, but it won't be realized until you drop dead. So cheer up, there's a great day coming. But notice, it's through the blood of the cross. Through the blood of the cross. The next thing that we consider is this. Andrew Murray, by the way, writes this, the great author, Andrew Murray. He said, it is the sigh of many of God's children of the new covenant who do not understand that the way into the holiest has truly been opened and that every child of God may and ought to have this dwelling place there in the presence of God. See, what do you mean? When we talk about the high priest, when we talk about what Christ has done, when we talk about the cross, what are we talking about? How does it affect me? You have to think Old Testament. You have the temple. And at the temple, you have the Temple Mount, and then you have the courtyard. You have stages. And certain people could only go to certain points. There was the court of the women. There were the court of the Gentiles, for example. But beyond that, there's the place where the priesthood would operate. They would make the sacrifices. There would be the brazen altar, the laver. There were the things that you read about in the Old Testament. You'd get closer and closer. You're getting closer and closer still until there's a point where the high priest would enter into the holy place. And there's the articles that are there. For example, there's the menorah, 7 lampstand. There's various elements there. You can read it. There's showbread and all this. You can read it later. But watch, there's a veil, and that's what you'd see. And then there's a second veil. And nobody could go through that second veil except one man once a year. He was called the high priest. By the way, he had to make atonement for his own sins because he was a human like us. He was just a guy. He would have all of the prescribed high priest outfit, which is incredibly meaningful, speaking of Christ and his mission. And do you remember he had bells on his robe at the end, on the bottom, bells? For various reasons, I would suppose, but one of them is most practical. As he went in, if he went in that one time on the Day of Atonement, if he went in through the veil, now listen, listen to the variance. It doesn't matter, it's something. Scholars say the veil was woven fabric per the Bible, per God's prescription, of 6 to 8 inches thick fabric woven together. That's 6 to 8 inches thick. That's pretty serious. Fabric. And that it was somewhere between 65 to 85 feet high. That separated everything else from the presence of God. The high priest went in and they put a rope around his ankle in case there was sin in his life. Can you imagine? He's got blood. He has the blood of the sacrificial lamb. He's going in there. Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Only God Can Save You Now. Thanks for listening. And not only can God save you, he wants to save you. It was God's love that compelled Christ to redeem us from our sins. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. By the way, did you know that Pastor Jack has over 500 videos on YouTube? Lots of content available for you. Simply go to youtube.com and search Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Maybe you can watch a message or two that you might have missed. Now, there are weekly teachings, real life programs, special messages and events, intro clips to Christianity. Really, anything that Pastor Jack wants to share with us is available right there for you on YouTube. Don't forget to set your notifications up so that you can know when Pastor Jack has posted some new videos for you. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.